This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about turmeric.
Yes, which we discussed. I have been mispronouncing my entire life.
Yep.
I have left out that R in spelling my entire life, the first one.
Not turmeric. It is turmeric. Turmeric.
Yep.
Turmeric.
We're going to try our best. We're going to try our best. You know, it's always the ones you think you know.
Mm-hmm.
That twists the knife the deepest.
Yeah.
Was there any particular reason this was on your mind, Lauren?
Oh, there could have been. Mm. I think I was looking for a spice, and this one has been on our list for a long time because I haven't wanted to tackle it because it's a little bit intensive, and I forgot that and did not give myself enough time to research, and that's why this episode is going up a little bit late. So here we are. Here we are. Yeah.
I feel like that's the 2024 so far has been.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This one's a lot.
Yeah. I was ambitious.
Well, look where it got me.
Well, here we are now.
Yes.
Yes. And you can see our past episode on spices, perhaps saffron specifically.
Mm-hmm. Ginger. Yeah. Yeah. Other rhizomes, wasabi. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I do use turmeric pretty often, but I don't have any specific. It's usually kind of like I'm feeling it. Like I'm like, this, I think it'll go good here.
Yeah.
I don't have like one thing that stands out.
Okay.
I'm like, this one.
I use it very little to none, to be honest. I've just never really gotten a hang for like what I want to put it in. But after doing this reading and like reading a bunch of different recipes from around the world for different dishes that incorporate it, I'm like, well, I should put it in more things. Like, why aren't I? Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Must be ambitious about this, Lauren. Can do this.
I don't know.
Yes, yes.
No, I might be done with ambition.
Oh, don't say that, Lauren. Oh, no. This whole episode is just me trying to talk you up. Well, okay. I guess that brings us to our question.
Yes.
Turmeric. What is it?
Well, turmeric is a type of spice made from the fresh or dried and powdered underground stem of the turmeric plant. It grows these fleshy underground stems called rhizomes as a source of nutrition for itself. But sucker, we like eating them too because it's got this like lovely, warm, bitter, earthy, peppery, citrusy sort of flavor. These rhizomes have a thin brownish skin encasing a bright yellow-orange flesh that's juicy and like crunchy tough when it's raw, but is often processed into a dried ground powder. It's used in both of those formats to add a like gentle bright heat to soups and stews. And the powder format often shows up in mostly savory spice blends like curries for all kinds of additional applications like rubs and marinades and sauces. Both are also popular in beverages, from cold juices to hot herbal teas and beyond, and can be used in sweet applications like drinks or baked goods. Turmeric is sometimes also used more as a coloring than as a flavoring, because of that really vivid orange-yellow kind of color. It's like if ginger had a sibling that was way more outwardly wild, but like actually more mellow once you get to know him, you know? It's like if that specific kind of glowing orange sunset that's just simmering on the edge of the horizon, it's like if that type of sunset had a flavor.
You paint a picture, Lauren. You paint a picture.
Okay, so turmeric is a member of the ginger family, and its botanical name is Curcuma longa. Sure. There are about 100 wild and or alternate species in the same genus that are also sometimes used as turmeric is used. Scientists like to argue about the taxonomy, which I always love. I love reading taxonomical articles where they're like, well, but really we should think about. And I'm like, yes, we should. So cool. Mm-hmm. It is a tropical plant that grows these fleshy bulbous rhizomes underground, running horizontally. And then more secondary rhizomes will grow down off of those, like weird knobby fingers. From those rhizomes, the true roots shoot down, and then above ground pseudostems will shoot up. Meanwhile, more horizontal rhizomes will shoot off to the sides. And that is actually the only way that turmeric reproduces. It does not create viable seeds.
Yeah, right?
Those above-ground pseudostems will grow large, oblong, pointed green leaves, really pretty, up to about 3 feet tall. That's around a meter or so. And some will grow these clusters of flowers that are in sort of like a cob or a cone shape, in shades of white with either like green, yellow, or pink to purple coloration, though they don't flower consistently because that's not how they spread. They don't really need to. So they're like, yeah, heck it. The nubs on the rhizome itself are where from either those pseudostems shot up or where it was like thinking about sending up new ones. The whole plant is edible. The leaves are used as a leafy green addition to soups and stews and apparently have like a sort of grassy mint tart flavor. Yeah. They're also used as wrappers to steam other foods in and can be pickled. During my reading, I ran across a recipe for Malaysian-style rendang that uses turmeric leaves. And I was like, ooh, all right. Yeah. The flowers apparently have like a sweet scent and a mild sort of peppery flavor and a real like delicate crispness to them. They're often used in salads or sauces or steamed with rice to add their flavor to the rice. Oh. I know, right? I had never even thought about eating heckin' turmeric flowers, and now I really want to. I've never gotten my ginger plant to flower either. Now I'm like, but I could eat ginger flowers? What? Okay. turmeric, yeah. The star of the show here really is that rhizome. They are themselves pretty sturdy to transport, though they go dormant during cold temperatures and otherwise unideal growing conditions, but will often start sprouting new roots and stems once they get back to a favorable condition type of place. The rhizome can be sliced or grated fresh into whatever application you like, or once ground and dried, it'll dull a little bit over time, but basically keep really well. So, as a food, it is used in curries all over the world and lots of other foods from the Indian subcontinent and nearby regions, but, you know, kind of everywhere. It lends a depth of flavor to things, a sort of mildly bitter, peppery, earthy spice. Yeah. Some of the compounds responsible for that flavor are called turmerones, named after the plant. as a dye. It can be used to create these beautiful shades of yellow or yellow-orange in both homemade foods, like steamed rice or pickles, or in processed foods, like check the ingredient label of essentially anything that is yellow, from mustard to mac and cheese. If it's yellow, there's a decent chance that turmeric is in it. It is also used to create edible or inedible dyes and paints, and in textiles, sometimes with religious or other cultural significance. For example, in some sects of Buddhism, turmeric might be used to dye cloth for monks' robes, or in some Hindu cultures, it might be used to dye ceremonial wearables or festive throwing powders for weddings, for the former, and various holidays, like Holi, for the latter. The color is pH sensitive. It will turn red in very alkaline conditions, and the red format of it is used for similar applications. It's also sometimes used in like litmus test strips. So fun. Huh. Ostensibly a food show. Here we are. I will say that the coloration of turmeric will totally stain your skin, your cookware, your clothing and linens. You can try wearing gloves when working with fresh turmeric or like rubbing down your wooden cooking utensils with cooking oil before using them with a turmeric mix. Once you get it in your linens, I am not a laundry expert. You ask the internet about that one. I'm not even going to try.
You air out your dirty laundry on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Not here on Savor.
I haven't tried it for turmeric, but I will say that frequent sponsor OxiClean, they're not paying me to say this right now, but like it really is heckin' effective on most mm-hmm. things that I throw at it. Anyway, well. Again, ostensibly a food show.
Yeah. Well. What about the nutrition?
Hoof. Okay. Let me start by saying that oof, if you have not been to the aforementioned internet, turmeric has had like a very popular moment in the sun as a cure-all for everything that everyone wants to tell you about and possibly sell you. That is why I am sighing right now. I will say, okay, as with many spices, you are generally not eating enough turmeric for it to have any kind of major nutritive effect in your system. In that it provides a lot of flavor and color bang for a low caloric buck, it's a really great addition to foods and drinks to make them more fun. Yeah? Mm-hmm. All right. But let's dip into those health claims just a little bit deeper. So historically and modernly, turmeric has been used for all dang kinds of potential health benefits. Now, turmeric gets its color from compounds called curcuminoids. Yes, named after the genus. The main one is called curcumin. And curcumin has been shown to have various useful effects, mostly in lab research that is not in living creatures. That is, studies in vitro. But occasionally, in human or other animal subjects, it can be antimicrobial, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and anti-cancer. Unfortunately, curcumin also is not very bioavailable when you ingest it, meaning that our bodies have a hard time getting to it and using it when we eat it. Researchers are working on ways to improve that, but for right now, like basically, turmeric and curcumin gives really promising results in the lab, in vitro, sometimes when applied to animals intravenously. But when we eat it, it just does not last long enough in our bodies to actually get used. So, all that being said, if you enjoy it, if it makes you feel better, go on ahead. Eat that thing. Drink that golden latte. I want you to. But, you know, just like, as always, you know, be wary of anyone selling you an expensive cure-all. And furthermore, taking too much as a supplement is probably going to give you a kidney disorder. So don't do that. As with anything, Savor motto, bodies are complicated. More research is necessary before ingesting a medicinal dose of anything. You should consult a doctor who is not us.
Nope. We are not that ambitious in this new year.
No, no, certainly never.
No. Well, we do have a couple numbers for you.
We do.
India accounts for around 75% of the world's turmeric production.
I've read up to 80%, but somewhere right around there. Yeah, yeah. Other major producers do include China, Myanmar, Nigeria, Bangladesh, Fiji, Peru, and Ethiopia. The United States imports the most, accounting for around a fifth of the total import market value around the world. I don't have a really good number for this one, but I really wanted to mention it because, okay, I mentioned Holi earlier, but there is another religious festival at this one Hindu temple in like central southeast India in the city Jejuri, where whenever a new moon falls on a Monday, practitioners come and just douse the temple in turmeric powder, just throwing it all the heck over the place. It's a big, wild, beautiful celebration. Like actual tons of powder are used from what I can tell. It happens like two or three times a year.
Wow.
So cool. Mm-hmm. Sources vary, but I read that the global market for turmeric is worth some $4.5 billion a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been for a while.
Oh, my heck, yes. Yes, we do have a good bit of history for you. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so turmeric is native to Southern Asia and some Pacific islands, and its history is thousands of years old. Particularly, it has been cultivated for a long time in India. And from there, it spread along trade routes. and through the travel of monks as well to places like China by 700 CE, East Africa by 800 CE, West Africa by 1200 CE, and then much later to Jamaica in the 18th century. More on that in a bit. Mm-hmm. It also spread to the Middle East and eventually Europe. And pretty early on, people discovered the process of boiling and drying the rhizomes or the underground stems and then grinding them into this powder. Mm-hmm. Yes. So throughout much of its history in India, for at least 4,500 years, based on residue found on pots in the area. Mm-hmm. I love when we get this kind of like archaeological evidence.
Yeah.
Yes. It has been used as a culinary spice, but also medicinally and in religious ceremonies. By 500 BCE, it was integrated as an integral part of the Ayurvedic medicine, which is a different podcast, but essentially this is an ancient system of natural healing that was developed and practiced in India. So it was a big part of that. And turmeric was believed to alleviate all kinds of ailments. Inhaling the smoke as it burned was thought to act as a decongestant. The juice used to treat bruises and cuts. The paste was a treatment for a whole range of skin conditions, including things like chicken pox. And that's really just like the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
literature from the time boasted over 100 medicinal uses for turmeric. And on top of that, it was used as a dye for clothing or things like that. And in many cultures, the color was viewed as symbolic.
Sure. Symbolic for all kinds of different things. In Hindu cultures, it is sometimes associated specifically with prosperity, fertility, and sort of general good luck. Mm-hmm. It was also one of the plants brought to the Hawaiian Islands with one of the waves of Polynesian canoe immigration and became revered there for its flavor and color as well.
And going back to China, places like China also had extensive medicinal uses for it. Allegedly, Marco Polo wrote about turmeric and its likeness to saffron in 1280 CE. Through colonization and globalization, turmeric was introduced to the West in the 1500s.
Which brings us to how no one is sure at all how we got the English word turmeric. The sort of romantic story is that it comes from this French via Latin terra merita, meaning meritorious or worthy earth. But some etymologists point to an Arabic name for it, kirkum, and think that turmeric was like a folk etymology corruption of that word. Kirkum is definitely where we got the genus name from, though that's sort of confusing too, because kirkum has also been used as a word for saffron. It seems that in a bunch of different languages throughout history, the name for turmeric has either been the same word as the color yellow, okay, or it's been a phrase meaning not quite saffron. The true entry of terra into the picture might have in fact been from a Portuguese name for turmeric that basically meant like dirt saffron.
Jeez Louise. Poor turmeric always getting compared to saffron.
I know, right? Like, come on. They're both real nice.
Yes. They are. Is this reigniting your desire for an etymology show, Lauren?
Oh, yes.
Is this turning you away?
Oh, no. This is a shortened version. I found an entire academic paper about the etymology of turmeric, and it made me so happy.
I love it. A lot of times when I see those etymological notes, I'm like, I'll let Lauren do this. It'll give her some joy, and it's complicated for me, so...
Yes. Anyway.
All right. Anyway. So many early English publications indicated a fascination with the color of turmeric specifically. An herbal from 1694 mentioned that the English believed it to be novel and perhaps even weird. Mm. And a part of this, given the writings at the time, was rooted in sort of a racist exoticism. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh. Sure. And that when used culinarily, it acted as a marker to differentiate those dishes as not traditional English food because the color was clear.
Sure. Hmm.
European recipes from this time indicate that it was not infrequently used more for color than for flavor. Again, Hannah Glass's 1747 book, The Art of Cookery Made Plain and Easy, included a recipe for an Indian pickle with turmeric, and a later edition called for turmeric as an ingredient in Indian curry. Mary Randolph's 1831 edition of The Virginia Housewife also had a recipe for an Indian curry with turmeric as one of the ingredients. And this is about when commercial curry powders started to become available, and many of the advertisements for them lauded their purported medicinal properties for things like digestion. I couldn't really find more about it than that, other than industrialization powdered form.
Sure.
There we go.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Well, the compound, curcumin, was first isolated in 1815.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. As people from India immigrated around the world during the 19th and 20th centuries, sometimes against their will, they brought turmeric with them to places like the Caribbean, where it was adopted into the local cuisine and sometimes used medicinally. And as you alluded to, Lauren, at the top, in the U.S., turmeric is having its superfood health food moment, has been for a couple of years. In my experience, especially in like a tea form or other beverage form, like a golden latte.
Right. Which
I
is,
see this a lot.
Yeah. Which I mentioned earlier and then did not explain. If you have not heard of this, it's a milk or often coconut milk steeped with turmeric.
Yes. Yes. It has been incorporated into a lot of health foods. But the popularity came with a price. A 2017 study led by an environmental researcher found widespread lead contamination in turmeric purchased in stores. And this is because, to meet demand, some producers have started adding the industrial paint pigment chromate to give turmeric that vibrant color if they didn't have enough or if they were cutting it with something else. Mm-hmm. The study primarily looked at samples being sold in the U.S., but found some being sold in Bangladesh as well.
Yeah.
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 Yep. And the practice goes back to at least the 1980s, when a massive flood left a lot of Bangladesh's turmeric dull in color, and everybody really wanted that vibrant turmeric. So the producers added in some chromate, which we've talked about before with mac and cheese, I believe.
Sure.
We've talked about this sort of adding in of something that is not the thing to get the color that you expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So that's unfortunate because, you know, number one, you don't want that.
No, that's bad.
And number two, if it's, you think you're doing a healthy thing and then that's not the case because you're being misled by producers, that's not good either. And then I would assume that, a lot of the people behind it are not getting any of the profits or not being paid for this loss of due to flood.
Sure.
Turmeric crop. So it's not good. But here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we are.
Still increasingly popular. And hopefully some regulatory services, you know, people will clean up their acts.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We just need more ambition in here.
You're right. We all need to be just a little bit more ambitious. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
Well.
You got me on that one, Reese.
I don't know if I did, but I'll accept the win. I'll accept the win. Listeners, if you have any turmeric recipes, ways that you use it, we would love to hear from you. But I think that's what we have to say about turmeric for now.
It is. We do already have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. Like a sunset.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this first message. Short, but it's a brief but chilling message, and we needed to share it. Christine wrote, we are getting a new U.S. fast food chain looking to move into Australia. Chuck E. Cheese. I am officially scared. End of message. You should be.
As well, you should be. Yeah. Yeah.
See, I love, there's so much of our job that is like kind of bizarre and funny to me, but one of the things is once you research something, you get a lot of updates about it. I get a lot of updates about Chuck E. Cheese. And from what I understand, they've gotten rid, we talked about it in the episode, but from what I understand, they've completely gotten rid of the animatronics. In part, hilariously, due to Five Nights at Freddy's, which I love. That is great. Like, we don't need kids being scared of these things.
Yes, they were scared before that video game, I promise.
Yes, they were.
I speak from personal experience. Yep.
It was unsettling. Mm-hmm, But now, Christine, I mean, I'm not saying you need to go to Chuck E. Cheese, but if you get any other news or updates about the Chuck E. Cheese in Australia, we're counting on you.
I need to know everything about this. This is very important to me.
Me as well. I'm invested.
I mean, is Australia really ready for an anthropomorphic mouse that...
Skateboarding.
That skateboards and loves pizza?
I think they might be.
Is it the best place for that mouse? I don't know. I you'll let us know. Yes.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Lori wrote, regarding funny stories on regional foods that we in Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, just assume are standard everywhere. A woman from the area was invited to a wedding of friends in the South. She said she would help out with cookies. The family assumed a few cookies to snack on while decorating for the wedding or in the room with the bride and bridesmaids to get ready. The woman and her daughter baked for days. Every possible area of the motorhome had boxes and containers of cookies. The bride's family was flabbergasted. They had no idea what to do with so many cookies, and the venue was not set up with a space, trays, tables for the cookies, nor were there plans for cookie plates for guests to use. Second story involves chicken salad. In Western Pennsylvania, your chicken or steak salad has the normal lettuce, veggies, meat, and cheese, but also has French fries. My sister-in-law was traveling and ordered a chicken salad. It's brought out to her, and she instantly asks the waitress where her fries are. The waitress said she didn't order fries. My sister-in-law said she ordered a chicken salad. The waitress said, yeah. They were both so confused. Now, when traveling, my sister-in-law specifically asks if it comes with fries, and if not, orders a side of fries on the salad.
That's amazing.
This entire fries on salads and sandwiches thing is fascinating to me. I love it. It's like such a specific thing. My family lived in Ohio and Pennsylvania for a few years when I was growing up. At one point, dad was working in the hotel restaurant industry and was traveling a lot for that. So he traveled around Western Pennsylvania quite a bit and really got a taste for this fries on a sandwich kind of situation, to the point that decades later, when we were living in South Florida, or he was living in South Florida, I went to visit him, and he was like, I have to take you to this deli. I was like, what's so cool about the deli? He was like, they put fries on the sandwiches. It was like a 40-minute drive out to the beach. He was so psyched. It was really,
oh my gosh,
it was really sweet.
I love this so much because, you know, if you told me chicken salad, I'm not envisioning fries at all. This is the first I've heard of it. I think it's probably delicious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are very few things that honestly, like deep fried potatoes don't improve
right
at a certain point. Like,
right. Oh, absolutely. And I just love, like, I hope that the waitress later was like, you know what, I should try that. But I would be flummoxed as well. What are you talking about? I love it so much. And then the thing with the cookies is great too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's such a good.
So sweet. Oh goodness.
That is very, very endearing. Mm-hmm. And I just adore so much. Again, like, We come from these different places. We have these different experiences. If you say cookies to me, I'm envisioning a certain amount.
Yeah.
If you say cookies to someone else, they're envisioning a different amount.
A confusing amount of cookies to you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's lovely, though. I love these, like, I find them very, very cute. These kind of like differences in our mm-hmm. regions.
Oh yeah, that we assume are universal.
Don't think to ask.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because yeah. They're like, well, it's everywhere where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I say I'm making cookies, you better be ready. I love it. Oh. Oh well, thank you so much to both of those listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.